Parashas Balak. Parasha begins. Vayar Balak ben Tzipor is kol asher osa Yisrael emori. Balak, the son of Tzipor, saw all that kol Yisrael did to emori. The parasha is an extensive description on how Balak and Bilam, two great Yeshurim, attempted to annihilate Klal Yisrael. The first question that begs an answer: why is the parasha called Parashas Balak? Parashas Pinchas we can understand, Parashas Yisrael we can understand. Pinchas we know did a great deed. Yisrael, he turned away from the Avodah Zarah, became a big Eved Hashem. But why would we name a parasha Parashas Balak? Additionally, why do we need such an in-depth description of these two Rishonim's effort to destroy Klal Yisrael? You want to make it Pekitzer at least. You want to tell us what happened, okay? You have a Balak and you have Bilam and they try to destroy Klal Yisrael and the Baruch Hashem saved them and you couldn't curse them with this in-depth. It says in the Gur Aryeh, on Pasuk Chav Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk says, Efes Kotzehu Sira V'Hulor Lo Sira V'Kov Nor Li Misham. Balak tells Bilam to go to a place where he will see only part of Klal Yisrael, and from there we should curse them. Only Kotzehu, you're going to see part of them, but V'Hulor Lo Sira, you're going to see all of them. Why did Balak do this? Why did Balak tell Bilam to do this? What was the purpose? The Gemara in Brachas, Rav Zion tells us, Bilam was capable to ascertain the exact moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyochol, experiences the midah of anger. Taisus asks, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger lasts a split second. How could Bilam curse Klal Yisrael in such a short time? It's a split second. How much could you get out in a split second? Zok Taisus, Bilam only planned on saying one word. One word and nothing more. The word is Kalein, destroy them, referring to Klal Yisrael. However, by just saying the word, it would not be clear who should be destroyed. He says, the way he's talking to her, he says, okay, Kalein, destroy them. Who's them? That is why Bilam needed to be in a place where he was able to see Klal Yisrael when he said that word, so that it should be apparent that his curse was to go on them. He's looking at them, and he says, it's Kalein, destroy them. Who's them? Who he's looking at? Klal Yisrael. Balak, however, knew that if Bilam were to gaze, I guess in theory, at the entire Klal Yisrael, his curse would have no effect. Pasuk in Vayikra says, "Va'af gam zoyis b'yoyisim beretz ayveyem lo ma'astim lo ge'altim l'chaloyisim l'hofer bris itam." The Rebbeinu Shalom explicitly promises that he will never destroy the entire nation of Klal Yisrael. Balak knew that he would not be able to annihilate the entire Klal Yisrael. The pasuk says, "Ayoga moyav b'neom kiravu." The second, the pasuk in the parasha. What's going on over here? What are they trying to accomplish? "Ayoga moyav b'neom kiravu." "Ayoga moyav b'nei Yisrael." They knew they couldn't annihilate Gan's Klal Yisrael. "Avkam zeis b'yos meres avim le'ma'asim le'galpam le'chaloisam." Never, not shyin. What they were hoping to do was reduce them in number. Ne'om ki ravu. Moab became very frightened because Klal Yisrael were many. He was trying to reduce them in number. Rabbeinu Bachya says, Naposik, Vayoymer Bilam lo'osoin ki hisalal tobi. Bilam tells the osoin, because you mocked me. Bilam should have been astounded. He should have been completely taken aback when he heard his donkey speak. And also, a donkey spoke. How can a donkey speak? It was obviously a miracle. This great miracle should have made him realize that Hashem was orchestrating this. This is all from there, Baruch Shalom. He should have been searching for a message why this was happening to him. Instead, what did Bilam do? He argued with the donkey. It was because of the great evil, the rishus, that permeated Bilam, and because of his intense desire to curse Klal Yisrael, that he was not fazed at the donkey speaking to him. Can you imagine all of a sudden you walk in the street, a donkey starts speaking to you, a car starts speaking to you, you're driving your car and your car starts speaking to you. What are you doing? Where are you going? I mean, he didn't stop to think for a second. No, he starts arguing. And Bilam tells the donkey, why did I hit you? Because you mocked me up, back and forth. Bilam was so focused that to him, it was as if he was speaking to another human being. He didn't recognize the difference. His focus was so intense. He's going to destroy Klal Yisrael. That's all that mattered. A donkey speaking, something else happening that's clear doesn't make sense with Derech HaTeva, it doesn't matter. The focus was so great, nothing else mattered. It says in Teferes Yonason, Balak tells Bilam to not refrain from coming. Balak says that he will honor Bilam greatly, and everything that Bilam tells him to do, he will do. There is no such thing as having a shliach doing an aveira for you. If one tells another to do an aveira, the one who commits the aveira is responsible for it. The shliach should listen to the Rebbeinu Shlalem, who's the master, who does not want him to do an aveira, and not his friend, who is the servant just like he is. However, if the shliach is receiving payment for his action, the one who sent him is considered as the one that committed the aveira. Chiddush in the din of ein shliach of the aveira. If you pay him, then it does work. Shliach of the aveira. Balak tells Bilam not to be afraid to come. Bilam maybe is scared, he's concerned that even if he be a shliach of Balak, he is still liable for committing the sins. He's liable because he's getting paid. Balak tells Bilam that he'll do everything he says. What does that mean? In other words, Balak is offering to pay Bilam. Not only will Bilam receive money, but it will also put the onus of the aveira on Balak. What's the purpose? The double advantage of Bilam receiving money from Balak. Number one, he's going to receive money. He's going to get cash in his pocket. Number two, aside from that, he's also going to have that it's not going to be his fault anymore. Ein shliach hadar very normally would say is that if Reuven tells Shimon to go do an aveira and Shimon listens, he's not Reuven shliach. Shimon gets the aveira. So in this case, Balak is telling Bilam go do an aveira. Bilam is listening to Balak. Doesn't matter. Balak doesn't get the aveira. Bilam gets it. But if he gets paid, now the onus goes on the mishaleach Balak, and Bilam would not, in theory, would not be liable for the aveira. Zokta ben Ishchai. Pasuk says, Ki meroish turim arenu, umigbois ashurenu, Bilam tells Balak, for from its origins, ki meroish, I see it rock-like, and from hills do I see it. What is Bilam saying to Balak? Avram was an Akar. He was not able to have children by nature. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah were all Akaris. Even though it seems that Leah had a child right away, but Chazal tell us she was an Akara. She was an Akara just like Rachel was, but because of the situation, and Rachel was the main wife, and the Leah was the underdog, and the Tfilas, Leah was able to have children, but she inherently was an Akara as well. The Rebbeinu Shlom healed all of them, and they were able to have children. Yitzchak and Yaakov Avinu were not Akarim. What's the pshat? Why is it that most of the obvious Nemois, except for Yaakov and Yitzchak and Yaakov, were not able to bear children? They needed to daven. They had to have something against nature. They were inherently akaris. Akarim and akaris. Zok teher geben ishchai. When one brings a child into this world, it is a continuation of his parents. That's what it is. It's a continuation of the parents. His parents gave him the koyach ha-halodo, the strength to produce children of his own. This gets passed down from generation to generation. The Rebbe Yisrael wanted Klal Yisrael's Yichus to start with Avram and Sarah, not any generation before them. We don't want to say that, oh, we're from Avram, but we're also from Avram's father. We don't want to be from Avram's father. Avram's father was not someone that we want to be associated with. The same applies for Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. The Rebbe Yisrael did not want that Pesuel, Lav, and all the parents of these, of the Oves and the Imoish, should be part of the Yichus of Klal Yisrael. Being that the Oves and the Imoish did not receive the Koyach HaHaloda from their parents, which means is that when they were born without the capability to have children, without this koyach ha-hilodah, the koyach to bear children, their yichus starts with them. Yitzchak and Yaakov, on the other hand, were not a karim, because who were their parents? Their parents were the obvious and Emois. Yitzchak was a child of Avram and Sarah, so he had the koyach ha-hilodah, and Yaakov was from Yitzchak and Rivka. Zok the pasuk Vayisores Am Ki Baruch Hu. The Rebbeinu Shalom tells Bill not to curse Klal Yisrael because they are blessed. Ki Baruch Hu. Bilam therefore figured, okay, I might not be able to curse the children of the Ovis Hakadoshim and the Imohis Hakadoshis. However, he can curse the children of Terach, Lavan, Besuel. He can curse Avram's father was Terach. He can curse from Terach. Because if he's going to curse from Terach, then the curse will go down to all the generations. Zok the pasuk, may Rosh Turim Erenu. The only origins that Klal Yisrael have are the Ovos and the Imois. Cursing the generations before them will not have any effect on Klal Yisrael, because that's not our connection. Our generations go back to our Ovos and the Imois, Avram, Sarah, Yitzchak, Rivka, Yaakov, Leah, Rachel. Those are obviously Mois. Generations before are cut off because the Koyach HaLada were not given to them. Not Nachal Kidun. Chutz Rabbeinu Ephraim. Vayichar Ef Elei Kim Ki Hoylechu. Hashem was angry at Bilam for his attempt to curse Klal Yisrael. Bilam's intention was to disobey the word of Hashem and curse Klal Yisrael, even though he knew that doing so would cause his death. Bilam was so passionate about cursing Klal Yisrael that he was willing to sacrifice his own life to fulfill his desire to curse them. Ki hoylechu. It says in Bereishis, Hinenechi hoylech lamos, ki hoylech. Esav says, hoylech. I'm going to die anyways. Why do I need the Bechaira? The Rebbeinu Shalom was upset at Bilam over here. Why? Because he had an intense desire to curse Klal Yisrael, even though it would cause his death. A tremendous koyach. He wasn't giving up. A focus. We'll make it see him. Mesechta. We say, Anu Amelim Vehem Amelim. Anu Amelim Mekabim Schar, Vehem Amelim Vehem Mekabim Schar. Anu Rotzim Vehem Rotzim. When one makes a Siyam, he says that we toil and they toil. Who's they? We are the people that are learning. We finish the Masechta, the people that join him, and those who are not learning. We receive reward for our toil, for our amelus b'teira, and they do not. Why in the world are we mentioning what they, quote-unquote, they receive or not? Who cares? Anu amelim u'mekav mischar. Let's compare. Why are we focusing on them? What's the focus? One would think that we should focus on ourselves and not care about those that do not follow the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what you would think. So why do we repeat this? Who cares? I would think that's a proper attitude. Look at yourself. Perhaps it is for us to learn a lesson from the them. They know how to toil. They're not toiling in the right things. They toil in bad things. Unfortunately, they spend their time toiling on things that will not bear any fruit. We need to learn amelus from them. You see goyim, you see sometimes how focused they are on shtusim and narishkeiten. We have to learn from them too. We have to take that passion. Why is the parasha called Balak? Perhaps we will have to learn the amelus of Balak. He was a hoilechu. He was ready to risk his life. He was focused. A donkey is talking to him. He doesn't flinch. He argues with the donkey. Donkey start talking to him. No, you're wrong. Focused. So focused. Wasn't ready to let anything deter him. That's something we have to work on. We have to work on that midah. In our Avodas Hashem, we have to become focused. Nothing else matters. Everything else is side. We have to focus on the learning of the Torah HaKadosh and our Avodah to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Pasuk says, Kapitel Chav Beis, Pasuk Yud Ches, Pasuk says, Vayan Bilam Vayomer El Avdei Balak. Bilam responds and repeats and says over to the servants of Balak, immediately Balak my base I guess of Bezov, even if Balak were to give me a house full of silver and gold, I can't go against the word of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rashi says, we learn from these words, Meloi Beise Kesev Bezov Lamadnu. We learn from this. Shenafshei Rechavu Mechamed Momen Acherim. He had jealousy, he had lust for money of others. Amar, Roy Leditin Likol Kesev Bezov Shaloi. Bilam was saying to Balak, it's worthy that you should give me all of your silver and gold. Because you would have to rent and pay, hire people, armies, great armies to go defeat Klal Yisrael. And with all of that, you may spend lots and lots and lots of money, and maybe you'll win the war, maybe you won't. And I certainly will be victorious in war. I will eradicate Klal Yisrael, and therefore I'm entitled to all that money. Melamed, Lamadnu. We see that he had a bad midah here. He was Mechamed. He had a desire for Yenim's geld, for someone else's money. The question is, what's wrong with Bilam's Cheshbon? Maybe you could say it makes sense. Balak would have had to hire lots of people. It would have cost him lots of money. So maybe he's right. What's wrong with the cheshbon? Rashi seems to be saying it's not a good cheshbon. What's taka the pshat? Zedin choish in mishpat. Vishata nibach. If you have Reuven and Shimon, they're on an island. And Reuven is chasing Shimon with a knife, yelling, I'm going to kill you. And Shimon is racing ahead, trying to save his life. He gets to the end of the island, and Levi is at the shore with a boat. And there's a big sign that says he's charging $20 for a boat ride across the river. And Levi sees Shimon come running, barreling towards him to save his life, with Reuven a little bit behind him with a knife, a big dagger, yelling, "I'm going to kill you." Shimon jumps on the boat and says, "Okay, Levi, let's go. I'll pay you the $20. Let's get moving before Reuven comes and kills me." And Levi says, "Hang on. $20, that's the going rate, the normal rate. But now the price just increased, supply and demand. It's going to cost you $100,000. Shimon was like, "Wow, $100,000, oh my." He turns around, sees Reuven with the big dagger. Okay, done. And Levi takes him across the river. And Shimon says, "I'm not paying." Levi says, "But what do you mean? You agreed." They go to Beis Din, and there's a halacha in Chayshim Mishpat called Mishaka Niba. "I never really meant to pay you $100,000. I was under duress. I didn't have a choice. And I don't have to pay you." And the din is with him that he would not have to pay. He has to pay the going rate. Nothing more. What's a pshat? The value of something is not necessarily of the time and place. There's a value. The value is charging $20 is normal. He's taking advantage of a situation. He's mechamed someone else's moment. He wants to get your money. He sees an opportunity to take more than he's entitled to. What is the difference to Levi whether Reuven is chasing Shimon or not? It has no bearing on him. It has a bearing on Shimon. He's taking advantage of another person. He's trying to get Yenim's geld. Halachically, even halachically in Chayshim Mishpat, forget hashkafically, but even halachically, doesn't work. Bilam went to Balak with this taina. "Really, maybe normally I would charge X amount of dollars, but I know you have no choice, you're scared of Christ, so you need to get rid of them. I'm going to hit you up good. A full house of silver and gold. That's what I can get." It's a terrible hashkafa. We have to think about another person, not try to take advantage of another person. Chemdas ha'momen, we shouldn't desire other people's money. What the Rebbeinu Shalom gives us, that's what we're supposed to have, and not try to take advantage. You want to have a business dealing? Have a business dealing. Do it with the asterisk, not trying to take advantage of the other person. That's the bad media. That's the chemdas ha'momen. A person has to work on himself to do things the right way. It doesn't matter always what the situation is. "Oh, I'm doing a bigger chesed, a smaller chesed. Something is harder, it's easier because I see the situation for that person." A person should always do things. He should look at himself. He should focus on himself. The purpose is to focus on himself. That's the purpose. The difference between American law and Jewish law. Halachically, what's my obligations? What's my obligations to my wife? What's my obligations to my children? What are my chiyuvim? In the Goyish world, in American law, it's what am I owed? Who owes me what, and what am I owed? A different perspective. We have to work on ourselves to look at our perspective of what our responsibilities are. We are part of Klal Yisrael. We're all part of Klal Yisrael. Everyone knows about the terrible situation in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz HaKadosha. The three boys were murdered. Hashem Yinkom Damam. We're part of Klal Yisrael. They were part of Klal Yisrael. They are part of Klal Yisrael. Kim Yerosh Tzur Meranu. We go back to Avraham Avinu and Sarai Menu and all the way down, but we're all the same part of one Klal Yisrael. It's a lesson for all of us to be learned. There's no Baskel coming out and telling us what. What are we supposed to learn from it? Rabbanim are speaking about it, coming up with ideas perhaps, of what, why. I don't know why. No Basco, we're in a generation where we're not Zeichet Ab Nevuah. We don't know directly. But what are we supposed to do? We have to work on ourselves. We have to work on the Mida of Achdus, which was shown greatly throughout Klal Yisrael, with everyone getting together to say Tehillim, and doing mitzvahs, and things to be Zchus for those three boys. We can still have a Zchus to do things for those boys, for their neshamas. The nation Klal Yisrael can never be destroyed. Balak knew that. He can't destroy Klal Yisrael. We have to feel like one unit. We have to feel it. We have to be one unit. Don't look at what the other person's obligations are to you. We have to look at what our obligations are to other people, what our obligations are to the Rebbein Yisrael, and what our obligations to Klal Yisrael. So in the month of Tammuz, coming to the Yemei Avelis, the Beis HaMikdash, we have to come together, the Achdus. We have to feel the pain that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We have to have Achdus, that the Rebbein Yisraelim, the Rebbein Yisraelim wants to be in the Beis HaMikdash. We're the one that's holding it back. We have to work on ourselves. We should be Zaycha to see the rebuilding of the ultimate and final Beis HaMikdash that will be everlasting, and see the Geula Shleim of Meher B'Yameinu Amen. Have a good Shabbos.